Joshua chapter 2. And we're reading this evening from verse 1 to verse 24. So here we go. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men you have come, who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And so she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. "Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road on the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as some of those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before them they lay down, she came up to the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show me kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." And then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on a city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on your head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear." Then she said to him, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, and stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Okay. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll be pleased to open and bless this, your word, to our hearts this evening. Lord, we cannot see a foot in front of us. Lord, our eyes are dim and dull, and we need, Lord, how we need the illuminating power of your Holy Spirit to open up these minds and these ears. And Lord, we pray that as we come to your word, that we will see something beautiful this evening. And Lord, that our hearts will be stirred with a noble theme as we look at this woman. Hear us, we pray. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This afternoon, Wendy informed me that she was going to be meeting her sister this evening. And I thought that was strange because, you know, husbands and wives should normally be on the same page when it comes to family get-togethers. And I was a little bit taken back because I didn't know anything about this. And I thought that was a strange thing. But as we got talking, I discovered that, yeah, in fact, we had planned to meet your sister several weeks ago. And yes, this evening we're going to meet your sister. We're going to meet Rahab, your sister, my sister in Christ. We have a family get-together this evening. And we're looking at an extraordinary woman in Rahab. Twice she's mentioned in the New Testament. That alone is sufficient grounds to cause us to say, who is this woman? You know, that she is mentioned twice in the New Testament. How many people in the Old Testament get mentioned not just once, but twice? In fact, when you look at one of those mentionings in Hebrews, the other's in James, if you look at the mentioning of her in Hebrews, you discover that she joins this distinguished list of individuals, such as Enoch, such as Cain, such as Moses, such as Noah, such as Abraham. You know, these are the great figures, the great mighty figures of the Old Testament. And then the author of Hebrews mentions Rahab. Rahab is grouped in with these mighty figures. In fact, it's very interesting because all the names I just mentioned, they all get a commentary about their faith in the book of Hebrews. Rahab is the last person to get a commentary on her faith. Gideon doesn't get one. David doesn't get one. The prophets don't get a commentary. This is exceptional faith that we're looking at this evening. This is extraordinary woman. At the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, it says all of these people had a faith that pleased God. We know, that means this, that Rahab's faith pleased God. There's much in the account that we're looking at this evening that shows Rahab's faith and shows how pleased God was with her faith. Her faith and the pleasure God took in it is exemplary. It's paradigmatic. It's something for us to look at, for us to be enamored with, to follow, because she was a woman who had faith that pleased God. And don't you want that kind of faith? What kind of faith is God pleased with? Well, tonight we're looking at the faith that pleased God. And it's a complex faith. It's made up of different components. And this evening we're going to look through chapter 2 and see six different characteristics of the faith, the kind of faith that God is pleased with. And the first is this. The kind of faith that God is pleased with is saving faith. Who was Rahab? Rahab was a harlot. Rahab was a whore. Rahab ran a business out of a whorehouse. She was a prostitute. There are some people who say that's not what the Hebrew word means. It means innkeeper. The New Testament is clear on this. They called her a harlot. They called her a prostitute because that's what she was. She sold her body for money. That was her calling. She was a call girl. She was a woman of the night. And what's interesting, one night, grace came knocking at her door. These two men come. We don't know how she identified them to be Hebrews, whether or not she just heard it by their accent or the king tipped them off. We don't know. But what we do know is that she had an extraordinary evening that night. In fact, so much so that I believe that this was the end of her career as a prostitute. A conversion took place that night in that whorehouse. She put away much sin. And that's staggering. when these two men came to Rahab, they came knowing that God was going to destroy Jericho. And she knew it too. She looked around and she could see that all the people that she knew were terrified. Their hearts had fainted. Nobody was strong anymore because they knew the Lord God was going to come and destroy their city. And how is it then that this woman, this whore, this tramp, is pleading with the spies to save her, to be merciful, to be kind? I mean, doesn't she know who she is? I mean, what right does this woman have to plead for mercy? What right does she have to ask these men to spare her? She was a vile sinner, the lowest of the low. Maybe we can understand some people in that town, maybe the noble people, maybe the king, asking to be spared and being granted that request. But this woman, come on. What possessed her to even venture, to even dare to presume, to ask for this favor? That's faith. It takes faith when you're living in the bowels of iniquity, when you know that you have sinned against God Almighty and you have sinned terribly. It takes faith, my friends, to latch on to His sovereign grace. And she did. She did not let her sin keep her from the sovereign grace of God Almighty. It was the only hope she had. She latched onto that sovereign grace by faith. And that's how she was saved. That's how anyone is saved. No matter who you are. No matter what you've done in your life, it takes nothing less than faith. The river of sin is such a mighty torrent that nothing less than faith can save you from sin. Nothing. When I was a little boy, a very, very small and weak boy, I got trapped in rapids. And I would have been swept down that river had I not been able to cling on to the rock. But that was as far as I could go. The only way I was getting out of there was by someone coming to my rescue, and someone did. They took a large stick and they thrust it into the middle of the river, and I grabbed onto it and I was pulled safely to shore. And I think to myself, that's just a perfect picture of faith, isn't it? There you have that river, this torrent of sin that would sweep us into ruin. And what is it that will allow us to reach the shores of God's mercy? It is faith in Jesus Christ, and it is that alone. It doesn't matter who you are, how far you've fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how vile your life has been. It must be saving faith in Jesus Christ, and it was. When you read through the account, it seems as though this woman is interested in little more than saving her own skin. Isn't that true? I mean, the agreement that she makes, the compact is, you know, if I don't rat you out, then, you know, deal graciously with me. Deal kindly with me. I've been good to you. You'll be good to me and save my family. And it just seems like she's out for her own skin. But you know what? It's more than that. She knows who the true God is, doesn't she? She knows that this is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And she knows that this God is going to destroy Jericho. And so she is pleading with these men to be merciful. She's embraced this God already as her Savior and Lord. It's faith. It's saving faith that God is pleased with. And that's the faith that our sister models here in this passage. But there's another aspect to this faith that God is pleased with, and it's this: solitary faith. Solitary faith. It's not easy being a Christian today. Never has been, never will be. But we live in a day when we are in the minority as Christians. Wouldn't you say so? You don't walk up to people in the street, strike up a conversation, and generally find out that they are Christians as well. The vast majority of people that we live with are not saved. That was Rahab's situation, wasn't it? She was the only one in her entire city who believed. The only one. That takes faith. You know what doesn't take faith? Believing what everybody else believes. Just going with the flow. What takes faith is trusting in God when you're the only person around doing that. Like Luther. Remember that? Luther was one man who stood for the truth in a day when nobody stood for the truth. He was a man who stood alone in his faith. And when told that he had to recant and repent of his false teaching, what did he say? I cannot do it. I cannot recant. So help me God, here I stand. That wasn't easy. This is amazing. This is a woman cutting across the grain of her culture and saying, I don't care what people think. Here's what I'm going to believe. And that makes for a lonely existence, doesn't it? It does. It's not easy to believe when you're the only one. But you know what? If that's what we are today, the only people who are believing, we're in good company. And if God was pleased with her faith, single as it was, He's pleased with yours. It's not easy. But God's pleased with it. And so the kind of faith that we see that pleases God is a solitary faith. Not just saving faith, but solitary faith as well. But it's more. And thirdly, it's this. It's a self-denying faith. It's a self-denying faith. The faith that pleases God is a faith that has feet and legs. It's a faith that shows itself. It's a faith that demonstrates itself. Isn't that James' point in chapter 2? That Rahab was justified by what? By her works. Doesn't mean that she was declared righteous by God. That's not the meaning of justification there. It means that her works proved or demonstrated that she was or had true saving faith. Where did Rahab show that she had true saving faith? In so many places, but when she hid the spies. I mean, don't overlook that. Don't minimize what she did. That was a courageous thing to do. Because if she had been caught harboring and hiding these spies, that would have been it for her. She would have been dead. But what does she do? She denies herself for the sake of these men so that they can bring a report back to Joshua to tell him the condition of Jericho. And you know what? The kind of faith that God is pleased with is exactly that kind of faith. A faith that will deny oneself and put oneself in danger and put oneself on the hook so that if God doesn't come through, you're in trouble. And that's what this woman did. She denied herself. She put herself on the hook. And she trusted in God to come through for her. She trusted in God to save and deliver her from this calamity. You want to know what kind of faith pleases God? It's a kind of faith that denies oneself and does just that, puts oneself in the way of danger and says, God, if you don't come through for me here, then we're in trouble. And that's exactly the faith that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, had, isn't it? He denied himself ultimately for you. He went to the cross. He gave up his very life. He laid it down for you, trusting that God would deliver him from the grave, that God would rescue him from death. You wonder what kind of faith pleases God? It's not the kind of faith that puts me in the center of this world. It's the kind of faith that puts others first, denies oneself, puts oneself even in a risky position so that God can come through and demonstrate his power and his glory. That's the kind of faith that God is pleased with. A self-denying faith. That's the third thing. There's a fourth thing here that we see in our sister Rahab that's so exemplary. It's this. She had a sympathizing faith. A sympathizing faith. Isn't it strange how when we get converted, we're often very excited and ambitious to share the gospel, but over time something goes weird, and that stops being such a big deal in our lives. Evangelism grows thin. Maybe it disappears altogether. What's amazing about Rahab is her heart. Rahab was a woman who was interested not just in herself, but others. Because when she learned that these men were in town and that the opportunity for deliverance was there, what did she do? Did she lock herself away in her home after she made the agreement? No. The agreement was to bring her family into the house as well, right? My father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my extended family, you know, just bring them in and they'll be spared. This is a woman who thought not only of herself, but of others. And you want to know why I think she thought that way? Hear me on this. Because she understood what awaited the Jerichoans. She knew that in a matter of days, that the Israelites would march in and obliterate Jericho. She understood that Jericho sat under a dagger of God's wrath. And that motivated her to bring these family members into her house to protect them and to have them kept safe. You know, maybe one of the reasons we don't do more evangelism, I think, is maybe because we just don't think about where people are going. We don't think about the loss that awaits many. It's amazing how we can watch TV, how we can read magazines, how we can look at celebrities' lives, how we can look at our neighbors, the people you work with, your own family members, and never think, rarely ever think, about what happens to them if they die. Isn't that true? Because what is the reality? Where will these people go when they die? Where? If they don't embrace Christ as Lord, where do they go? They go to hell. I'm talking about your family members. You know, I'm talking about your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, people that you spend time with. Do you understand that if they die, they go to hell? That they spend eternity gasping and agonizing in flames of eternal torment, and there'll be no relief, there'll be no mercy, ever. You wonder why we don't do more evangelism. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men, Paul said. What does that say about our hearts? Where we can have relationships with people and never open our mouths because we're so afraid of coming off as silly or whatever. You know, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with that? We'll warn people of a car that's approaching. We have no trouble with that. But we won't tell them about Jesus Christ because we're afraid. There's something wrong. There's something dreadfully wrong there. Rahab didn't care one bit what they thought. She said, you come into my house. You come in here and you'll be spared. You come join me. And God will deliver us from the hand of our enemies. This is noble faith. This is exemplary faith. This is the kind of faith that pleases God. A sympathizing faith. A faith that says, there's more to my life than me. There are others. and those others are going to hell. And they need to hear what I've been given. Rahab had a sympathizing faith. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. What else do we see here with Rahab? Well, she has a steadfast faith. She has a steadfast faith. Ever wonder what Rahab thought when the spies left? Ever thought what kind of thoughts ran through her mind when they left? What about the next day? I wonder if they're going to remember me. What about the day after? What about the day after that? What about all the days that separated their departure from her house and their advance on Jericho? What do you think ran through her mind? Are they going to really do what they said? Are they really going to remember me? You know, I think if I was Rahab, I probably wouldn't have stayed in Jericho. I would have run. Knowing that God was going to smite Jericho, I would have run out and hid in the hills somewhere. But where is she? She stays in Jericho, doesn't she? And more than that, when Israel does arrive in Jericho, what's hanging out of the window? The scarlet cord. And who's in her house? Her family. This is a woman who persisted in her faith when the circumstances argued against it, right? She kept on believing, and she showed that by having that cord remain dangling outside the wall and keeping her family inside the house. She persisted in her faith. She was steadfast in her faith. You know, sometimes one of the most difficult times to exercise faith is when circumstances scream against it. When it looks irrational to exercise faith, to continue to trust God. You know, it's not hard to exercise faith when you can see the outcome, is it? It's not hard to exercise faith when you can see what's going to happen and it looks good and it looks favorable. What's hard is trusting the Lord when nothing looks good and when everything might look disastrous. Rahab kept on trusting one day after the next. And God was pleased with that. He's pleased with that. He's pleased with it when we don't run to the hills, when we don't try and turn stones into bread, when we don't try and fix the problem ourselves. But we keep trusting Him when circumstances say it ain't going to happen. And we keep trusting Him until He brings us that outcome which He's promised in His Word. Faith lays hold of those promises, friends, and it doesn't let go until it gets what God has promised to give. Rahab had a faith that endured, that persisted. It was a steadfast faith. And because of it, God was pleased with her faith. Well, there's one more. It's this. A sanctifying faith. Our sister had a sanctifying faith. The same faith that delivered this woman from destruction was the same faith that transformed her whole life. That night in the whorehouse when the spies met her was a turning point. It was a decisive turning point in her life. It was a night where she said goodbye to immorality and wickedness and unbelief and said hello to the living God. And as she lived with this God, as she continued to put her faith in this God, her life was transformed, radically purified. In fact, so much so that we're told in Matthew chapter 1, that she met a great man named Solomon. And with this man, she had a family. She remained committed to one man, and God blessed the harlot with a family. In fact, it's from this family that the Lord Jesus Christ traces His earthly lineage. It's a great story. how God finds this woman in all of her lewdness, in all of her immorality, and brings her into the family of God and does a great work in this woman's life, connects her with a good man, blesses her with godly children, becomes a matriarch of faith. It's amazing what God can do, isn't it? It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what kind of power God can work into our lives by faith, isn't it? You think of the sin you struggle with. You think of sin in your life, period. Sometimes we doubt that we can overcome. We doubt that there can be any substantial transformation in our lives. But Rahab shows us, friends, tonight that our God can do great things. He can take a whore and put her into the Word of God, into the list of the heroes of faith. This is your sister. My sister. And God was pleased with her. Very pleased. And God wants us to know this evening that if we follow in her steps, as we seek to emulate her faith, that God also will be pleased with us. Very pleased. And so let me just encourage you in this. Be like your sister. Be like your sister Rahab. She's here for a reason. She's here to show what God can do in the life of a sinner. Extraordinary changes He can bring. She's here to encourage you. She's here to motivate you. She's here to know, to let you know that God is pleased with this kind of faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Rahab, this remarkable woman. Thank you for being her remarkable God, for being our God, for embedding the story in the pages of your scriptures so that we might be encouraged to follow in her footsteps. And Father, we look forward to meeting her one day. But until that day, give us her faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.